What's up, race fans? You have just entered the right place to talk about everything racing and go for another ride on the In the Groove podcast with your host, Slammin' Sam Smith.
Ladies and gentlemen, sit back, strap in, don't go anywhere.
Everybody, it's your host Slammin' Sam back in the studio, and you know, the duel in the desert was something really to watch, something to talk about, and I think we're gonna talk about that. Maybe some spinouts, maybe some tractor tires, who knows what all we're bringing on tonight. What's up, everybody? So first things first, guys, do me a favor. If you have not checked out our YouTube channel, please go over to Outlaw Performance ENT on YouTube and check out all the videos of all the podcasts and check out the new podcast that I'm on. That is Competition Plus's own The Power Hour with my buddy and my co-host, the Monday Morning Racer. But that is enough housekeeping stuff there. I'm going to bring on a friend, a returning guest. He's kind of taken the place of this other guy because he always says he's busy. Fluffy Chris Ruhr, he's, you know, too busy, I guess, in the middle of winter taking care of concrete, which that makes no sense to me. So I am bringing on my new and true co-host that knows a lot and is honestly you guys' favorite. So without further ado, Isaac Sandro, how's it going tonight, Isaac?
It's good to be somebody's favorite. So,
hey man, you're always welcome here at In the Groove podcast. But how's it going for you since the last time we talked a couple of weeks ago?
Life's good. Well, the Sport Mod got sold. All the Sport Mod parts are sold, and an A Mod was purchased. So pretty jacked about that deal. And me and Marcus Tomlinson went down and picked her up, and we've been working on it. And Sean Strand popped in and he's been giving me some tech stuff to do, and so we're excited. We're going A-Mod racing officially, so it's in the shop.
There you go. Congratulations on that, buddy. But one thing I got to ask, since you drove it back, you didn't park it anywhere, did you?
No, you know, it stayed on the trailer the whole time, which is weird. I don't know how a car could fall off a trailer. That'd be weird, but...
Unreal. I mean, no good stories out of that. I mean, I was looking for a video or something.
Yeah, we had this thing called ratchet straps, and I don't know if Reed Hansen has ever heard of them. So I don't. It was a good safe trip. So
we can't blame that fully on Reed, though. I mean, I think we need to put a little bit blame on the 75 machine of Smalls. You know, he was there to help it, and he's known to park things across the good old NODAC area, the region. So I think we can't blame Reed 100% on this.
No, you know, hey, Smalls and I have gone round and round before, and now we got to race against each other again, so I'm not saying a word about that. I'm just going to blame Reed.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, I forgot about that. But hey, man, watching the Duel of the Desert, what'd you think of that? What'd you think of all the cars, first of all? A lot of cars there.
I mean, like, I think they had 473 cars. That's incredible, you know, and it was, I think the track was better this year than it has been in the past. They really struggled with that dirt down there, and I don't know how you get a track to hold up with 473 cars, but the only place in the world that's figured it out is Boone. And so I think Vegas did a better job. A weird format, I thought. You know, a lot of racing. But, I mean, for a fan, a lot of racing. It got kind of late up here, you know, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning when the features were wrapping up a couple nights. So, I don't know. I thought the racing was pretty good till you know, I think Saturday they kind of got spread out a little bit. You know, Ricky put it on the mod guys a little bit. I thought Jason Wall looked really good. You know, he had a second-place car, I thought, and you know, I think good for him. He had an excellent week, you know, won a qualifying feature, and he was definitely a top three car down there all week. So that was cool to see. And the mods got so much. I mean, you look at the 31 guys that started that mod race, and holy shit for talent. And, you know, Sport Mod, we had the guy that won it, a home built car. So that's pretty cool that, you know, somebody built a car in their garage and went out and won that deal. And stock cars, I thought DeVilbiss put on a hell of a show all week. He passed a lot of cars. He had some bad luck earlier in the week, and then he put it on them in the stock cars. And I thought overall it was a pretty good week. The North Dakota boys had a lot of speed, and I don't know if the results reflected all that, but they were pretty damn fast. I thought Luke and Brady and Kelly are pretty fast at points down there in the Sport Mod deal, and then had some luck not go their way, and had some stuff in the cockpit not go their way. But maybe our next guest can kind of elaborate on that a little bit more. But no, it was good to watch, and I think it's gonna, now they're bringing on super late models next year. Holy shit, that's gonna be a show, man.
And I think that's a good thing, you know. Like you said, I think it's gonna continue to grow. I think we're gonna continue to see, you know, good racing out of that whole community. And down there in Vegas, I mean, you know, for me, NHRA was just there. NHRA guys pull out, and then, you know, you have, you guys are there this week, and now the Streetcar Super Nationals are down there. So even though Vegas is shut down, I think there's still a lot of racing. The racing community is really rich in that Vegas thing. You know, I talked to a couple of guys, Rob Stenvoll and his son. They were down there, and our next guest was down there too. But the good thing about that is, you know, they said they really didn't have much time other than, you know, being at the track till almost 2 a.m. and then waking up and getting there about 10-11 o'clock the next day. Yeah. And it's a lot of racing. So I think it keeps these guys and girls, because there were a few, you know, girls that race up here in the NODAC area that were down there. And I think it speaks a ton to them too, of what they're doing.
For sure. Taylor Kuhl was fast, and she was kind of, you know, we kind of adopted her up here. She raced a lot with us this year, and I was really impressed with her, you know, female or male, whatever, people can say what they want. That she's a racer and she can drive. She did a hell of a job. And Grandpa Rob had had a tough luck opening night, but he had a good speed all week too, you know? So yeah, Vegas is, you know, for November, people want to get out of here, and it's fun to get out of here for a week. So I think that thing's just going to keep growing.
Yeah, and like you said, you know, you bring up another good point with the weather. I mean, our weather's been fluctuating here in the NODAC region, so people want to get out and still get some heat. You know, people don't really want to put the car away already at this point in the season, in the year, whatever you want to call it. So I think it's a really good opportunity for people to stretch their legs one more time, you know, combat that fever and all that down just a little bit. But looking at the cars and it wrapping around the whole track and everything, I got to really pick your brain here. What did that show you, signs of younger drivers? I saw a few myself, but that, seeing that, showed me that there's a lot more younger drivers in different areas versus up here.
Yeah, there's a couple mods, but that one, Austin, I can't remember his last name, Winger or something like that. 16-year-old mod driver, he had a hell of a week. And then, you know, even Ethan Dotson, I think he's only like 23 or 24. He's been fast. And yeah, the mods got a ton of it. And then there's a couple of sport mod guys, younger guys from across the country, were dang fast too. I think that it's kind of good that these guys are young and get the talent, get their name out there. You know, the Abbeys, they both race stock cars on in Texas. They were up for the tour a couple years ago, and they're fast. And it's good. There's a lot of young talent in that mod class, especially. It's kind of crazy to see. And then you got a guy like Scott Blomquist show up there and try to wheel, and he's won everything there is to win in the late model. And so he shows up and tries to put on the young guys, and he passed a lot of cars, but, you know, nobody was as fast as Ricky. But, you know, dang, there's a lot of young. Yeah, how old is Taylor Kuhl? So he went 20, what is she, 21, 22?
Yeah, I think I think she's like 21, 22. Like, yeah, like what you said.
You know, the most frustrating thing about her, Sam, is we were at NODAC, and I think it was about middle of July or whatever, and I ran second to Brock. Brock won, and then me and Taylor ran battle for second and third all night, and I lost a couple laps. The bottom went away on her, and I ended up winning, you know, beating her to line or whatever. So I got second, she got third, and I got out of the car, and it was really on the cushion technical, and I was, like, kind of wore out of breath, and she jumps out of the car, flips her hair, not out of breath. She's surprised, like, god damn, this girl is gonna whoop our ass, you know. So yeah, it's good. It's fun.
Hey, so I have to ask here, you know, with you getting the new car and everything like that, I don't want to spoil too much of 2021 for you, but any plans that you can tell us, any kind of color schemes, you staying with what you got? Kind of just want to give people a little bit of insight before we bring our guest on.
Yeah, well, actually, I just scanned my stuff down to New Vision for the wrap stuff. We're going to kind of do, so the Turtle Lake cars, back to my grandpa and Troy and Tomlinson's, always have this kind of different stripe scheme. For my first mod car, we're going to do kind of an old school stripe. It's going to be black and yellow like last year's car, and then the chassis is matte black, which And it was matte black when I got it. I've always wanted a black chassis. I've always had red. And I'm kind of over that. Just hard to match or whatever. But this flat black so much. Be a lot easier to take care of. It looks like just, I mean, you can cover up and you can make the powder coat look new again. So yeah, it's gonna be a flat black car with a matte yellow and try to make it pop and look like that. And I think we're gonna do like a reflective number type deal. So hopefully it looks sharp. If I'm gonna finish in the back, it might look good. So
there you go. And I've got two things for you, two for your car. I got a In the Groove podcast sticker for you to put on the car, so you got to tell me. And then I, of course, with your new T-shirt, everybody that comes on, this, so you yep. will get to one of those stickers to put on the car. So, I think we've had this guest kind of waiting in the waiting room. Think we should break to a commercial and then come right back and we can talk.
He's ready to go
with yep. him. Mad Bro Motorsports, located North Hill, Minot, North Dakota, the leading performance and parts store. If there's anything you need for your hot rod, give Slam and Sam and the gang a call. 701-720-7996. Again, that is Mad Bro Motorsports. 701-720-7996.
On the way to being free.
And speaking of Mad Bro Motorsports, got to thank them. If you need any car, race car parts, anything like that, fire suits, we are having our end of the year Black Friday sale. It's already going. Everything is on sale to the end of the year. So thank you again to Mad Bro Motorsports for all your support of In the Groove podcast. But here we go, Isaac. I'm not even going to do it. I think I'm going to leave this one up to you. How would you introduce tonight's guest?
Well, he is bad fast, and he is on the loud pedal in every aspect of his life, from work to play to everything in between, I guess, man. He is on the loud pedal. He is a character. He's a good friend, and he's the loopster. He's the loopy loop crow. He was he's freaking fast, and I love him, and he's a good character. So he'll speak for himself.
So you're saying his loud pedal does save his life?
His loud pedals almost ended his life a couple times, I think. So,
well,
but I don't think he's talking in cursive yet tonight. So we should be able to get a good podcast out of him.
All right. Well, without further ado, we're going to bring on our guest. How's it going tonight, Luke?
Oh, not too bad.
Oh, don't
having
be
a salad.
Don't be shy now. Don't be shy now. It's all fun and games here. But hey, our big star that was supposed to come on tonight kind of ditched us. But you stepped up to the plate. So you got any shout outs for getting this number one spot there?
Oh, I got to think back to that Lodgeblocker guy. He's probably putting another car in Jack Stance for the next 2020 season there. So he's gonna wait a little while. Probably come out probably in October, August. Sometime. I don't know when.
Geez, just taking the shots already, first things first, right? But, hey, yeah. I see you had, explain how Vegas was, but, I mean, even before we get into Vegas, how about, tell everybody that doesn't know who you are, anybody that's listening from other places around the world, just let them know who you are and what you're about.
Oh, my name's Luke Crow, a.k.a. Loopy, kind of gained that deal, that name a few years back. Had a hard time keeping it straight, I guess. Diggins, North Dakota, 47K Sport Mod.
I see Isaac, he's already laughing when you said you can't keep it straight because of the nickname. So, what's that about, Isaac?
Man, he's so fast, it's ridiculous, Sam. And then it just gets away, and it's if we didn't love him, we wouldn't make fun of him. But he handles it so well, because I think he won 8 features this year. So I think he had the most wins in sport mods in the state. And then he goes and KOs a tractor tire. We got to make fun of him somehow. It's fun.
I hear those tractor tires, they just show up. It's kind of what I've heard lately.
Well, one kind of grabbed me, and then it kind of threw me into the other one there, yeah.
So. Just reaching out and touching cars, huh?
Yeah,
he was mad at the second one, so he wanted to prove a point.
Yeah, I didn't like where it was at, so I pushed it to the infield there.
Hey, you know, you picked your lane, and it was in your lane, so you moved it.
Yeah, that's a fact.
All right, but so how was Vegas for you?
Well, we couldn't have any better luck, I tell you that. We had a really good car. Drew pole both nights on the second and third qualifier. First night, I think we started, I want to say 16th or something like that, and got the sixth. I mean, we had a good car. I mean, there's nothing about that. The driver made a couple errors. I kind of decided where I was going to be at on Saturday. So, but it was overall, like, the format was, it was good. I just think that we got to, we got that many cars. The track's going to be a little wet. I mean, a lot of people didn't like that. I mean, you drive all that way to race on that place. But, I mean, they had a method to their madness. And it always ended up pretty decent that night. I mean, it wasn't like it in years past. And we didn't near here have, well, we were probably 200 some cars more this year than we were in the last few years. So, I mean, I thought it was pretty decent.
And is it a lot to change up that setup from going from what we're used to up here in the North Dakota area and then going down to Vegas where you have so much more, space, right? I mean, the track is longer, so different gears, different things like that. So what all did you have to change if you want to tell all that? I know some of that stuff is secrets, but what was that like for you?
Oh, you know, you got your gear change is a big part of it. I mean, a lot of guys run open run. A lot of guys run crates. We ran the same gear the last 2 years in a row now. It's about the same. I mean, for us, I mean, it's just a long shoot. It's kind of like mine on in a way, a little bit. But, I mean, the setup-wise, we kind of stumbled upon some stuff this year, and we kind of were pretty decent in the heats, which we've never had been in the past. So, we didn't have to change a whole lot to the car. So,
Isaac, what do you got for Mr. Luke here?
Well, I think you found a lot of speed. What, Thursday night, I think you won your heat race by 9 seconds. They said. I mean, you were gone. I think you and I had talked before you flew down that you had found some things from the end of the year to, you know, from the Stampede or whatever in the rear end that you found for Vegas, and then God, the thing turned. It went really. It went forward like a son of a gun. You had a ton of speed. What did you find?
We kind of found out the pole bar was in the very, very wrong position. So I don't know how long it's been that way. I guess I should check my car over a little bit more, like the old Maddox program. I'm kind of lacking on the maintenance thing of life. Sometimes I've been pretty busy at work, and Maddox kind of picked on me. He actually showed up in Vegas with Keith, so they were picking on me pretty good down there. So,
do you ever think you have too many irons in the fire, Loopy?
I do. I'm gonna bat down the irons, I think, next year. 21.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I think the track was better, though, wouldn't you? I mean, it was better. It was a better show.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it ran well for what everything was, and, you know, for how many cars they all had. I mean, the holes, you know, the weird spot where the holes were kind of coming back up from years past, there was a bad hole on the first night against the wall on the front stretch, and I've never seen that there. I mean, maybe other guys have, but I haven't. But, I mean, that thing was longer than my semi. It was huge. It was kind of scary. It was like, holy moly. But, I mean, they gave everyone the opportunity to come on the track and show us what was going on with the surface. And, I mean, I thought they did a very good job overall on the whole nine. So,
my next question is, did it go better down on Fremont Street than it did on the racetrack, or worse?
I didn't get too buck wild or nothing like that up down there at all, really. I mean,
it was too much racing. You didn't get to gamble.
Yeah, there was a lot of racing. I mean, you had to be in. Your draw cutoff was at 1:30, so you didn't really have a whole lot of time to be messing around.
Have you ever missed a draw cutoff?
Not in Vegas, no.
Anywhere else?
I'm going to plead the fifth on that one.
Hey, I mean, what's worse? What's worse, missing draw cutoff or just taking a nap throughout your whole event and then waking up and like, oh crap, I'm late because you got a phone call from Isaac Sandro?
More tragic.
More tragic, baby.
Yeah, that was a tough weekend there up in Minot there. So
they're always tough.
It happens to the best of us. That's why I quit drinking.
I think that's
a good deal for me.
Yeah, I think I honestly picked the worst month to stop drinking. I picked July. So July 1, I stopped drinking, and then you know the long weekend in Minot, and everyone's like, "Oh, do you want to have a drink?" And I'm like, "Nope, quit drinking." But you know, it's been since July since I've had it. July 1st since I've had a drink.
Yeah, boy,
that's not a bad deal, Rod.
So, are you changing anything on the car there, Luke? I mean, we know Isaac's got a bunch of stuff that's going on. What, you know, now that you're back home, back in Dickinson, kind of what's your off-season plans and goals?
You know, I'll probably just get the car back. Phil still has the car up in Sydney. I got to go get that picked up and bring that back this weekend. But I think really, I mean, I borrowed a motor. I mean, I didn't even have a motor to go. I mean, I wouldn't be possible for the friends in racing for allowing me to go race in Vegas, let alone be as good as we have been with the sponsors and stuff, you know. And I got to get that motor pulled out, and Nick Hoff is building me a motor, the one I blew up. So we're kind of redoing the whole motor situation right now, and kind of go through the car and check springs, check Hines. I'm sure replaced most of the Hines. Vegas was kind of hammered down at times, so I'm sure a couple of them are kind of beat up, so.
Well, all you got to do is ask Isaac. I think, you know, I think he'll help you. He's got nothing else to do now, you know. Farming season is over right now, so he's just sitting in the house, you know, with his feet up all day.
I know. We got 10 days till basketball starts, though, so I have my own car to put together now.
Let's be real.
Yeah, let's be real.
Nothing's going on. I mean, I ref hockey, right? Nothing is going on right now with all this coronavirus and everything that we got going on in the States. But that brings up another point for you guys, Luke. How was that with, you know, traveling to Las Vegas and now coming back? Do you guys have to quarantine or what is all that like for you guys?
No, I mean, really, the traveling is kind of a pain. You know, that mask thing is kind of, I'm not really a whole hipped on masking deal, but I mean, the travel now wasn't so bad. The goofy part was, like, we were, you know, at the hotel casino there. I ran into Jackie Chan. He's one of these bartenders down there. And he had, every 5 seconds, he had to put your mask up. And it was kind of, they were really cracking down. They were kicking, like, 10 to 15 people off the floor just because they wouldn't have their mask up. They were, like, literally kicking them out of the casino floor. And it was kind of, it was weird.
So do you think it's different, right, going to Vegas and then coming back here and seeing, you know, that North Dakota is now number one for all the coronavirus and we're so crazy and hectic. Did that kind of scare you, you know, thinking going down there and now coming back? Or were you just like, you know, we're a year into this pretty much at this point and it is what it is?
You know, to me, you know, the more tests you take, the more numbers you're going to see or whatever, what have you. I mean, I don't know. It doesn't change the way I look at things, I guess. But, I mean, you know, my kids play hockey, and that's a big thing now. That's all shut down, and it's that part it kind of upsets me a little bit. But, I mean, I guess if everyone's all, you know, getting sick and whatnot, I mean, it's hard to say who's been not sick for how long and who hasn't. You know, that's the thing. You know, I really don't know.
Now I can put a...
Yeah, Sam, not only is... We got... Not only is he a star on the racetrack, Loopy he's an old hockey star too. You guys got a lot in common to talk about.
No, I just figured it out now, Isaac. Now I know who that Dickinson parent is that's always yelling at me. Come on, ref, open your eyes. I put two and two together now, so now I'm gonna have to watch my back when I walk off the ice when the Dickinson team's up in Minot.
I know.
No, that's going to be easy. Hey, I'll just do it like this. Luke, if you're in the ring, here's your warning now.
That's noted.
I think that's just the easiest and the safe way to go about it. You know, we all know what it's like for Isaac in those basketball gyms. You know, it's quiet. Everyone's eating their popcorn. You can hear, you know, a mouse fart in there. So we understand that, you know, he's taking the easy road out going and, you know, reffing basketball. But who knows? He's probably on Facebook talking about me now because my phone's blowing up with all these pictures of my creep stash that I posted. But, you know, hey, you got to have fun. It's Movember. You wouldn't know anything about that, Isaac.
Yeah, see, Luke and I can still grow beards, so we are going to roll with that.
I can too, but, you know, in the hockey world, it's either No Shave November or it's Movember. So I kind of went with the Movember. I mean, it brings good luck every time I do it. I end up shooting a nice deer with my bow. So, you know, I'm in the drought right now, so I got to pick it back up.
How's it with the ladies though? Is it helping that at all?
It doesn't matter. I mean, that one, no, not helping at all.
Oh man, when you make the whole speechless, it's a pretty good deal. So,
hey man, I mean, sometimes you know, this is what you got to say when people want to start talking about the good old November, Movember, No Shave November, whatever you want to say or think. You know, when you think about it, you just got to realize that at the end of the day, you got to pick your battles wisely. And this is one of those battles that I'm just going to pick. And, you know, it's just easier to say, guess what? It's ugly, but I like it. All right, what's up, everybody? We've all been in the shop and we have those tools that we just don't like to use. Well, I've got a solution for that. Go over to powerbuilt.com and use product code MADBRO15 at checkout and save 15% while you're doing it. I mean, it's easy. I'm talking high quality and durable tools. Lifetime warranty. So if you break it, it breaks, or just something happens, you send it back. No questions asked. Proven performance. I'm talking people in the NHRA. And everywhere else are using these tools. So why don't you go over to powerbuilt.com right now, use product code 15 at checkout and save yourself 15%. Again, product code MADBRO15, save 15%. All right. Yes, everybody. Also do that. Those stocking stuffers, if there's any tools that you need, we all lose that 10mm socket. I mean, you know, it's probably still in Isaac's trailer or somewhere else because you lent it to him and he's going to hold on to it. But go over to PowerBuilt, use product code MADBRO15 at checkout, save 15% already on top of there. Discount sale that they've got going on. So, I mean, Isaac, you got to give people their 10mm socket back.
Yeah. So actually the person we brought on tonight, our guest, is not very good at returning tools sometimes, are they, Luke?
Hey, I just got busy. I didn't mean to take it.
He's still borrowing.
Sometimes it is.
He's still borrowing.
Yeah. It came back. It did. So,
it took a couple races. I got it back to you, though.
That's right.
I mean, hey, you know, yeah. If a guy needs it for more than one race, you know, he said, hey, do you have this tool that I can borrow? So, you know, it may be for the season. He didn't specify exactly what he was borrowing it for. But, you know,
He asked me if I had an angle finder. Yeah, he asked me if I had an angle finder. He never said he was going to bring it back. So,
well, and maybe your angle finder. Exactly. I mean, I agree with Luke. You gave him your old one. So now that's why his car wasn't set up right. Cause you were trying to mess him up. So he, you know, I see how you're rolling, Isaac. That's a low blow.
He actually did get drastically faster after he gave it back. So
what do you got to say about that, Luke?
Well, I mean, I felt bad for it. I got busy, and then I finally used it, got it you know, where it needed to be, where I thought it was supposed to be, but it still was off on the left or right. It was pretty good on the angle.
Loopy.
That's fine. But hey, Luke, you do a lot down in Dickinson. Kind of what all are you involved in with down in Dickinson? What all is, you know, your kind of role that you run down there?
Well, I've been the promoter down here for the last couple of years down at Southwest Speedway, and this year, you know, we're waiting here. We can't even have our banquet or our elections yet, so we haven't really got a chance to get any new people on the board or whatnot. So we're kind of waiting in limbo on that stuff. So, but we'll help with the well, Tanner, the guy that works on my car. He was doing all our sales stuff, and I was doing helping with the track and doing all that stuff, and between working on the computers, the fixing lights. Gotta try to help out, do whatever I can and when I can.
And for you, what feeling do you get? Like, is that rewarding to see it all on race night and, you know, you guys have good events and different things like that? Or how does that all work for you?
You know, this year we tried something, you know, everyone, you know, we didn't have a very good racetrack for part of the year, and we tried adding some clay, and it didn't really work out the best that we thought. And then it didn't, you know, we finally got it working pretty good at the end of the year. And that in itself, having a couple of great races, that makes the guy feel pretty good about, you know, putting it on for everyone. And we always like putting races on and stuff like that for everyone that comes, and the fans and the sponsors to help out the racetrack and all that stuff. That it feels good to have that support, you know. And when it doesn't go that way, you kind of feel that a little bit of a strain, you know, if it doesn't go just right, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and there's a lot that's put on you guys, right? With having, you know, no racing, and then as a race promoter, everything falls on you, and with, you know, everything that goes wrong is always going to be your fault. Everything that isn't perfect for one racer is going to be your fault, but if it, you know, makes it work for another racer. So is there any rewarding, like, weekends where you're like, you know what, no one complained or not that many people complained? I mean, I know how racing is, and I don't mean to turn this into a, you know, bitch session, but we kind of want to know. That's what this is about, right? To explain those things and to see it in your eyes and tell your stories of what you're seeing at the track.
You know, you're not going to make everyone happy. All you can do is you try to make the situations that come up that you have throughout the night or the year, try to lessen them if you can, or you always strive to have that perfect night. I mean, that, I know we've came close a few times, but it's tough. You know, it's hard to take when things don't go well. It's tough to, and you don't want to show that to anybody, you know, and stuff like that. So it's kind of got to go around the corner of the trailer and kind of take a deep breath type of deal.
It's really got to be tough when you got to deal with a prima donna like Isaac Sandro coming onto the track, you know, and telling you, oh, I think you should do this better. Or does he even make the trip down to Dickinson that much? I should start by that.
Well, he kind of stopped coming after he couldn't beat me. He kind of stopped coming, you know.
True.
I don't have to worry about Jackson coming down from Minot, so he stays up in Minot. So, I mean, I almost got Reed to come down a couple times, but Jackson convinced him not to go. So, but, I mean, it's, you got other races. I'm trying to be friends with a lot of guys, you know, I take everyone's thoughts and all that stuff in, and you try to do the best you can. And like I say, it's hard to have that perfect night out there and things all roll through there smoothly. And I mean, there was a couple nights this year that we were done a little over 3 hours. I mean,
yeah,
you take the good with the bad with it all, and you got to meld it all together, you know.
It just, Dickinson got such a weird dirt. It's just the clay down in that southwest part of the state is different. And like early, I thought our May and June races went really well down there. And it seems like July and August just beat the hell out of the track. And I don't know if it's just the drought deal again. And it's just that clay just, when you got a race, when the sun's up down there, it's just not, like, from my standpoint in the cockpit, it's always more fun in Dickinson when the sun goes down. And it's the dirt's better, the track's more fun. And you know, I think like a lot of these guys like Loopy and Evanok and Tanner and Cole and these guys and have put a lot of time down there, Darcy Dennis, that they're volunteers. It's tough, and especially it's really tough when you're trying to be a race car driver at the same time, you know. And you know, Luke's wicked fast, and he talks about his maintenance program. Well, the only reason that lacks is because he's putting almost, you know, all those hours in at the racetrack, and it's hard. It's hard to do both, you know. And so I don't really try to bitch. I bitch to Luke. I don't bitch publicly, but I always bitch to Luke about everything, so it's fine. But Dickinson's got really weird dirt, and when it's good, it's good. Man, when it's bad, it's just tough sledding, and then that's just kind of how it is down there. There's really no right or wrong. You know, like I said, they got a lot of, you know, a lot of volunteers putting in a lot of good effort, and some, you know, it's just, I thought there was a couple nights like, holy shit, this place is a lot of fun. It's my favorite track to go to. It's my favorite track to drive on, you know. And then, it, like you said, with that new clay that you guys tried, it just like all of a sudden, the middle of July, end of July, it just like it gave up. It just kind of gave up, you know. And then the track gave up what it was doing well, and then it seemed like Oktoberfest, Harvest Shootout, track's pretty good again, you know. So.
And is it really weird?
Yeah, I mean, it was.
Go ahead.
Nope, go ahead.
No, and I was just going to ask, is it really weird for you, you know, being there during the week and trying to work on your car and trying to do all these different things and then putting the countless hours into the racetrack, you know, and, you know, making sure everything goes right and then worrying about your car, but then having friends? You know, you're a racer, you're a competitor, but then you still have friends and you're asking them and their opinions and they're giving it to you. So do you take a lot of what they say as, you know, a blow to you, or is it, hey, they're just trying to help?
Well, I mean, I kind of take it as it's personal. If the track isn't performing well, I mean, with me working on the track, it gets, you know, it hits me too, just like anybody else that's out there working on the track. If it's not, if it's bad and people are complaining, I mean, that's personally a bad thing to, you know, for us to see, and we don't want everyone to hear that, you know. And it's just, you want to make it better for everyone that comes in to enjoy the facility and enjoy the night race, and that's the big thing.
So what do you, I mean, Isaac, you know, I know you've raced all around, and you know, you've raced Dickinson and different places like that. So what is that like for you to, you know, come in and try to not, you know, I guess the word nag or give, you know, negative feedback. I mean, you know, I hate to use that, right? It's kind of like where you're talking, you know, to your wife, hey, stop nagging. But I mean, how do you, I guess, give, what's your best way of giving, constructive giving positive feedback. Yeah, I can't even think about it right now. I'm tongue-tied. But what's your best, you know, how do you do that without, I guess, putting it in a negative way?
Yeah, you know, and, like, that's a good point. Like, Dickinson and I have kind of had a love-hate relationship. And, like, in 15, we ran down there the full season. We were runner-up and had a chance to win the championship. And then, like, in 18, Luke and I got to race for the championship. And I think that was one of the most fun, you know, when I look back at my racing career, it was a lot of fun to get to race one of your buddies for a championship. And I think Cole finished third in points, Cole Lewis. And so we got to all three. And then there was a couple nights we finished 1, 2, 3. And so I try not to, like I said, me and Luke will go roundabout, but I don't take it, ever make it public, because those people are doing a good job. And like I said, Dickinson's probably my favorite track. It just, for whatever reason, the place fits my driving style better. And we've had a lot of good runs down there. And, you know, like even when it gets tough to pass, we've had some success in the dry. And the crazy thing about Dickinson is, like when I said, when it's good, it's really good. So that's why we've hauled down there. It's a 2.5-hour drive for us. We usually got to turn around to race on Sunday morning in Minot. Not a lot of us do that anymore. You know, we need more people to go down there, and it's just different. And people got to be okay with different sometimes. And like I said, we race in 9 different tracks this year, and I thought we were pretty good at most of them. And I think it helps you when you show up and places are different, because Dickinson and Nodak is so different, you know. And so you gotta adapt to the driver, and you can kind of bitch in your own mind, but you gotta be good at all. Like I said, if I go to 9 tracks, I better be good at all of them. I mean, it ain't the track's fault, you know. Maybe it's the guy in the cockpit, you know. And some guys don't like to admit that, you know. And so, like down there with all the volunteers and stuff they got going, I think they have. I wish they could find more help for them, because I see like the hours that Luke puts in, and that some of these guys are putting in, they need more help, you know, and that's why I try not to bitch too much. Like I said, I'll complain to Loopy, but I ain't going to complain to the rest of them, so.
No, and like we've said, right, we've said it in other podcasts, and definitely with you, Luke, you know, with you being a promoter down there, I'm going to ask a straight question, and Isaac, if you want to jump in on this too, but, you know, you just mentioned the what is it called? Having volunteers and having people down there and whatnot. So what is that like to have those different people and then want to get more people down there? Luke, are you still on? Luke, you're still
there? There
you are. Okay. Yep. But yeah, I was saying, what is it like to have the volunteers and want to get more volunteers down there, but maybe, you know, not having the manpower to actually do it? Does that hurt you guys? Do you want to see more of it? I mean, what can we as race fans, race people in the community, what can we do better to help out these tracks?
You know, it just comes down to manpower. I mean, you take some of these guys in a factory, you know, we got probably half our board racing. And that's the tough part, too, you know, if you can't get the help from the community, which I'm sure a lot of people, you know, would like to, but it doesn't work out for their schedule, too, you know, and you got half our board was racers, and, you know, my old lady was working the score tower. Chris's old lady's working the score tower. I mean, we got so many people doing multiple jobs. It somewhat takes the fun out of it. You know what I mean? Because it gets to be a stressful night every night that you run.
So, and then I know, you know, there's another question that Isaac had brought up before about, you know, seeing the tradition of racing, seeing the culture that we have here as he's having a sneezing attack back there, but seeing, you know, the culture and the tradition that we have up here in the NODAC area, do you see that falling off the wayside? Do you see that kind of deteriorating, or do you think it's something that's going to slowly trickle back in?
You know, I hope it trickles back. It seems like there isn't really the same amount of people that are wanting to, you know, help at the tracks, you know. Years ago, you had the same three people, you know, that kind of, that were always there, that always did everything, you know, like that, you know, and then come race nights, and you had probably 15, 20 people show up to help out. And I don't know if it's just because, maybe because the board members or myself, maybe, you know, maybe someone doesn't like certain people. I mean, it just, that happens. I mean, I don't know if that's the case or if it's just people are kind of dying off on trying to, you know, live their lives at the lake. You know, a lot of people go in the lake stuff now, you know, and family stuff, and people are growing up, and life's getting busy, you know?
Do you think it's getting harder to be able to compete with the other stuff that we have, you know, in the NODAC area with summer being so short and, you know, and everyone knowing that long, drawn-out part of winter? So a lot of people, like you said, want to go to the link. They want to go camping. They just want to do outdoor stuff. Do you think it's harder to attract people to the racetrack, or do you think, you know, even in the community of Dickinson, you guys have your strong core supporters that are going to be there, that are going to show up, that are going to buy season passes to the racetrack?
Yeah, I agree and all that above. I mean, then, you know, we had this COVID thing hit in the spring. So, I mean, there was a lot of folks that didn't even want to come out at that time, you know, and that for us as a track, that kind of hurts every track that's out here. That, you know, you need all those people in the stands. You need every ticket sold, you need every hot dog, or you want every soda sold. I mean, all that takes into account if that track's going to have a successful season or not, you know, and that's the ultimate goal, is to get out of the red, stay in the black, you know, and that every penny counts.
Isaac, do you
I thought the crowd count was pretty good. I thought the crowd count was better in Dickinson this year. Like, a couple nights we rolled on the front straightaway, we kind of parked up top there, and crowd was pretty good both nights. And then the night, like the Two Strong Tour, when we did the drawing up front, there was a lot of people in the stands. That was cool to see. The draw didn't go my way. Thanks, Luke. But yeah, the revenge draw, I still owe Luke one for that. So that's why I get to complain to him. Say, I mean, in the revenge draw, somehow I got the 8 on a miserable, tough racetrack to pass on. But anyways, Yeah, no, I thought the crowd count was better in Dickinson this year. It's fun to see, and you can kind of see like the way that you can park in Dickinson. You can see the same vehicles there. I think the crowd support's been good, you know, so that's fun to see. And I think that was really good at Nodak. It was good at Wilson when you were up there this year. Grand Forks was full, and Madden was full, and the COVID might have hurt us early in the year at a lot of racetracks. I think by the end of the year, that people were excited to get outside, and I think the racetracks kind of benefited from the crowd count side of things. But yeah, there's a lot going on with trying to get volunteers to help, and then good volunteer help too. That's big too. And I think Luke and those guys have seen more of it. And like I said, they had a lot of irons in the fire, all those guys down there as volunteers. And I think they did a pretty good job wearing a lot of hats.
So bringing that back up, like you said, the COVID and everything like that, I mean, we're still dealing with that now here. Luke, question for you. Do you think that's going to change some stuff for, you know, leading into the 2021 season with everything being so crazy and everything still going on?
You know, I think it's all going to have to be taken into account for. I mean, it's possible that there's nothing that may be gone by next season. I hope so. I don't want to have any more limits on stuff. I mean, even at the duel, I mean, it was, if you didn't have a mask on, you and your crew were out. Like, they had pretty specific guidelines on down there, and it's such a big event like that. We don't really want to bring that back home, you know, for our own tracks. It's really tough to monitor. You need more people for that on top of that. So, I mean, I'm hoping that everyone stays healthy and this goes away faster than it came. And I'm hoping that we don't have to worry about that, really. I mean, it's such a big thing that it's a mass thing. I mean, it's like all these big races that everyone's having them. It's like you don't want to think about it, but you have to, you know. It's good. And at the duel, it was kind of a pain, to be honest with you. It was like walking around with a mask on a dirt track.
All right. Well, I think we've played fun enough. I think, Isaac, it's really time to, you know, make that corner and dive into the good stuff here. So, Isaac, I'll let you lead off. Is there any questions, any grit, anything that's been in the shed, in the trailer, you know, that needs to be brought up of Mr. Luke?
Boy, I don't know. I got a couple. I mean, Luke's won a couple of big events. He's won the Stampede, you know, and he's won a championship at Dickinson. And he, like I said, he won 7 or 8 races down there this year. He's won some two strong and some tour races. And well, Luke, what's your favorite win? What's your favorite racing? What are a couple of your favorite racing memories? And what's your favorite track?
Oh, it's gonna be tough. I mean, Dickinson's like my favorite place. I grew up watching there, and you know, won my first race there. And I think the most fun race I think I had was the first Tough and Dirt 2009 Dickinson. I think we went from Green White Checker, probably the only sport mod feature for Too Strong or Tougher and Dirt or anything. I mean, and I needed it to stay green because we passed a lot of cars that night, and we ended up.
I think would you 12 to first?
I think it was further back than that. I think that was 16th. I can't remember. It could be 12 to 16th. One of those two.
So, Dickinson, your favorite track. That tour win was cool. Cause who'd you pass? Lazat there with like two to go?
That was Lazat and Ledoux. Yeah.
Yeah. They were kind of battling. You just kind of drove right around them. What about, so like growing up in Dickinson, growing up, you're kind of a motocross driver, you know, motocross rider. Who was, out of the motocross deal or even like the racing deal, who was your favorite? Like, who was your guys to watch growing up?
Ryan Scheckler.
Leo was a big thing, but my Dan Ani was my dude I watched when I grew up. So, I mean, I was a guy I always watched him and Decker. If you know, those three names are pretty big out west, and well, they're pretty big all over the state, upper Midwest. You know, I mean, you bring back those names up out of the record books, those guys have won a pile of races, and I mean, I just, you know, those guys, I mean, motocross was fun, you know, but it's the same thing, same family mentality, too. That's what I love about racing cars and racing dirt bikes. Everyone's out there for everyone, not just kind of out there for one person or one individual, one group, you know.
What's your most memorable spin out?
I would have to say it would be this year. I think that one hit it over like 10,000 views in like 10 minutes. Because I got a text message from Barry saying, hey, good job. There's a lot of people that just watch you do that.
I said, well, you put on a show, Luke, man. Your entertainment value is through the roof. Oh, it's awesome. Yeah.
All right. So, yeah. And that's
been a fun year. I mean, we didn't get to race as much this year as we normally do, which is all right, though, too, in that matter. But, I mean, yeah, I wish we would have done a little better at the Stampede. You know, we were kind of going for three there. That would have been kind of neat. One's plenty at that place. If you can win that thing, that's pretty cool, too.
You know, I think Stratton said it pretty well this year. My name's on that shirt and they can never take it off. And that was the first thing I texted you when you wanted, you know, your name's on that shirt and they can never take it off. And that's a big deal. That Stampede's huge, man. That's, for me, I mean, that's a crown jewel when I want to get someday in my career. And you're on there twice. That's a pretty cool deal.
Yeah, it's just, we got some things go our way that, you know, last couple of years there. We had a hell of a race car last year and a really good race car the first year. And it was a little bad tire luck this year, but I mean, that's the way she goes. That's racing.
Yeah.
Luke, I know, you know, I've tried to reach out to you to get on 3 and 4 and, you know, talk to you about this podcast. So since we got a minute and we haven't got a chance to do it out of 3 and 4, do you want to do a little late season, off season out of 3 and 4? Are you ready for this?
I don't think I'm ready for that right now. I come back, I'll do that again.
Oh, come on. Look, you guys.
I'll be way more. We can try it.
All right. No, we're going to try this. We're going to run this down here for you. I'm going to give Isaac one question. He can ask whatever. So I'm going to let you start it off, Isaac. Out of 3 and 4 question from Isaac Sandro, what do you got for him?
Who's your favorite Lewis brother, Cole or Tanner?
Tanner.
Jeez, he said that without missing a beat. I mean, I don't know what kind of drama, what kind of stuff that's going to start here, but I think that was a good question. All right, I got another one for you here. Like I said, these are random questions for you, whatever comes to mind. So I'm going to say, if you can start any conspiracy theory, what would it be?
Ooh.
First thing that comes to mind, you're thinking about this way too hard.
There's a lot going on in my little brain, though. That's the problem. I'm thinking I'm going to win a championship next year.
That is a great conspiracy. I kind of like that. I really enjoy that. So me being in the Wi-Fi industry, working with Midco and everything like that, I got to ask this question. If you could change your Wi-Fi name right now, what would it be?
Oh, it'd be Bam Bam.
Just Bam Bam.
Just Bam Bam.
Oh my.
No numbers. No letters. No humor.
Isaac, you got any more questions for him?
I got a lot of questions for him. If you could tear one door off with no consequences, would it be Kelly Henderson or Eric Lautenschlager?
Eric.
And why would you do that? I think he gave up his spot tonight for you to come onto the show.
Well, it's kind of, I mean, he's like a percentage racer, so he only comes to the last half of the season. So I mean, it's only, if I only catch him up in August, it's like it happened in May. So it's not that big a deal.
Oh, my. In the words of Larry McFall, oh, my. It's turned into a slobber knocker here. All right, you know what? We're just going to keep this going. If you had to be locked up in a mental institute with any one racer and one announcer to announce what is going on between you two, who would it be? Who's the announcer and who's the racer?
I don't know if Larry can stay in jail too long, but I'd probably take Larry, and then I'd probably have to sit around. It has to be Cole Lewis.
Is there any story behind that one or what?
No, not really.
All right. So, you know, just talking along this, and it's all joking and all fun. you know, the controversy that we see here at the racetracks, the yellow flags, the black flags, the this and the that. What do you think about all the drama that kind of happened in the 2020 race season? We're not picking one event. You know, there was some stuff that happened down at the end of the year with a big wreck and different things like that. So what do you kind of think about all that as you are a race promoter yourself?
You know, honestly, it's racing. It wouldn't be racing if you wouldn't have some of that stuff happen. I mean, if you don't want it to blah. I mean, fans come to see some action. So yeah, you don't want to see cars tore up and all that stuff. But I mean, it's kind of generated by its own self.
So with that being said, do you think that there is some stuff that should go, you know, kind of left, I guess, out there to kind of just be whatever? Do you think there's some stuff that needs to be handled a little differently? Kind of what's your opinion on some of the stuff you saw this year?
Oh, I mean, the race and deal stuff, kind of, I mean, everyone's human and you're making calls on the seconds after the fact. You might not see it, you know, clearly you might see it one way in one view or whatnot. But like, there's other stuff that's, you know, intentional that has no part in racing, has no part in sports, no nothing. So I mean, that stuff's got to get handled a little bit differently than other things. So
Luke, are you someone who likes to handle your own stuff or in the claim area ever? I've never seen you upset.
Yes, I would have to agree. I do like to handle certain situations myself.
Do you want to speak on what those situations are? Because Isaac's laughing pretty good. This is a safe zone too, by the way. You know, you won't get in trouble by anyone with what you say on here. I just want to clarify that for you.
Oh, I ain't too worried about getting in trouble. The person that we've gotten into in the past, he ain't going to do nothing, so... If you're crawling underneath someone else's car, you just better luck that the guy doesn't find out about it. So I'll just put it that way.
Drama in the pits. I think you guys need your own TV show. I mean, I going down to the pits, doing out of 3 and 4, helping people out, you know, helping another kind of semi-retired racer, Stephen Pfeiffer. I mean, Jesus Christ, you know, show up to the car. And I think you talk about maintenance programs and different things like that. I mean, you know, and I can take this shot. I'm sorry, Steven, but, you know, I think we wrenched on the car more in the pits than we actually did at the shop. But, you know, hey, he's a big-time farmer, just like, you know, Fluff's a big-time concrete guy, you know, can't make it to scheduled shows. But speaking of Fluff, what do you think about the job he did up here in Minot working?
I thought it was great. I mean, I didn't get to go up there too many times this year. I mean, I actually did well, finally, for the first time in 5 years. So I didn't come off on the tow truck, so I was a win in itself. But, I mean, the circles were good. I mean, I didn't have no problems. I mean, you could go through two lanes, except that one night with Fluffy. It did rubber up, and not much you can do about it.
Oh, no, give it to him, you know, because like he said, tonight he was supposed to be on the show, and then he's got some excuse that he's got to go back working, and then he's got some excuse, and he's sending Snapchats when he's out at the grocery store. So, I mean, you can lay it on him pretty well. It's a fine.
Well, I love Fluffy, but that was pretty terrible racetrack that night. I mean, I almost punted something.
Oh,
so,
my.
It was pretty...
Well, it was definitely fun having you on here, Luke. Is there anything that you want to kind of close with? Is there anything that you have to say, sponsors that you want to thank, or people down in Dickinson, and tell everybody about the track and what you guys got going on and where they can find you?
Couldn't be racing without all those car sponsors. You got Industrial Electric, Zeman Trucking, Gold Foam, DS Electric, Precision Performance, Entrac G-Style, Iron Hill Bar in South Art, you know, Quick Rescue Roof, Fury Energy, them guys, you just can't race without good sponsors, and those guys, you just can't beat them. And, you know, if you guys want to come down to Dickinson, check out the Moon Dirt surface, come on down, I'll call it Eric, since he doesn't want to come down here ever, so... Yeah, come on down.
So that's an open invite. That is an open invite for the 49 machine of Eric Lautenschlager, is what you're saying right now. ALS Teca Mexican Food, located here in Minot, North Dakota, on the north side. If you want the best and authentic Mexican food located in Minot, North Dakota, please check out the gang up at ALS Teca Mexican Food, located right near the Minot International Airport. Go up there, try one of the burritos, and I guarantee you, you will not leave hungry. The best and authentic Mexican food here in Minot, North Dakota, again, that is ALS Teca, for all your dine-in and dine-out needs. So we've kind of made it, halfway around. We're at a caution flag right now, Isaac. It's, just kind of trying to do what we do best. But, you know, looking at what happened there at the Duel of the Desert, everything kind of planned out, you know, pretty good. Not so good for the North Dakota guys. And then, you know, having Luke on the show and just kind of, I think we took it fairly easy tonight compared to other nights.
He had a rough weekend. We had to be nice to him. Luke's a good guy. There is one good story though, Sam, that you forgot to mention. So in 18, we were racing for the championship down there. It's like, I think it's just championship night and we're parked beside each other and we're working on our cars and he's switching his right rear bar out and, his crew chief Tanner goes up to check the board and all of a sudden I hear this whap and I'm like, what the heck, you know, whatever. And we're standing there and all of a sudden, you can hear Luke yelling from underneath the car. When he took the bar out, he slipped on the wrench and whacked himself in the face and damn near knocked himself out. And he was bleeding, like pouring blood out of his freaking. So being the nice people we are, my mom patches him up, you know, cleans him up, puts his band-aids on. And I was like, you know, Luke, you might want to sit this out. You know, I think it was like 3 points behind him. I was like, you know, you can just sit the race out. And he's like, yeah, good one, you know? So he won the championship with a concussion, so that was pretty good. So now Luke's a good guy, and you get him one-on-one, you can get him riled up a little bit better.
Yeah, you know, I think we took it easy on him, too, out of 3 and 4 there. But I think, you know, this season we'll make it a point. I definitely want to get down to Dickinson, have some family in Dickinson, but definitely want to get down there and, you know, just see the racetrack and, you know, roam around the pits and ask questions and talk to different people. But it's always cool to have people that want to come on to In the Groove and want to, you know, tell their stories and just talk racing, because at the end of it, that's what we love to do, right? We all love to race, whether it's, you know, drag racing or circle track racing, airplane racing, jet boat racing. I don't really care. I just like racing. And I just thought about this too, because I have a poster for you, a signed poster. When I had you and Lindsay on, you know, you guys were getting a fangirl from someone. So I did get some stuff from you from the Enders and Elite Motorsports. So, yeah, next time I see you, I will be handing over a nice signed poster to hopefully, you know, replace some of that purple and yellow stuff that you got in your background so we can have, you know, we can have a good office space for you. But Isaac, you know, new car, new you, 2021 is going to be different for you. So, I mean, you know, tell everybody where they can find you, my new co-host, since we had to fire Chris Ruhr.
Yeah, we'll be ready to go. We're going to race as much as possible. You know, Nodak will be home. You know, I don't know if we'll run the full schedule everywhere else. We'll be in Dickinson and Williston and Mandan and Jamestown and race as much as work allows. Hopefully we can get in the field early. The earlier we can see, the more racing I can do, so that's always fun. And yeah, it's going to be a good year. I'm excited for it. And, you know, I watched some of those guys again, you know, trying to, you know, pick brains and learn as much as I can here in the off season to get this AMOD deal rolling. And Sam, if you ever want to go to Dickinson when we make the trip, you know, you can hop in with Lindsay and meet us in Turtle Lake, and we got a seat available for you, so we'll make it work.
You're not going to make me, like, sit shotgun or anything, like, you know, that old skiing joke or anything like that, are you?
Oh, no, you don't get to sit up front. You got to earn that. You get to sit in the back, and actually, like, the way back, like, in the tunnel cover.
That, you know what, hey, I can get some good content, some good B-roll, put together a, you know, a working video for you there. You know, I do some media work and that kind of stuff, too. So, no, that'll always be fun. I definitely like to travel and see the different tracks and see, you know, all what it goes into each racer, because each racer is different. Each racer does something that's a little different. So I think that'll be a good trip. You just let me know when you guys are going down. And, you know, if I can't ride with you, I can ride down there. And, you know, I got a place to stay. And then I can turn around and come back I can turn around and come back early Sunday morning, and that way I can, you know, get my beauty rest, because that is important. I mean, I got to say,
you need it.
I mean, you know, you don't.
You need it for that mustache,
man. And I don't get it. I don't understand why everyone is hating. If you guys haven't already, on my personal page, I do have a picture. I trimmed it down just a little bit here, but every year I'm gonna do it. And this year, I've already said it. I'm rocking. I'm gonna rock the stash all the way out to the end of the year. So Christmas pictures and everything. I'm rocking the stash this year. I mean, it's golden. I wish I had a picture of it right here, right now. I don't know if I can find one, but I mean, oh, I found one from 2013. I'm going to put that up on the screen for everybody so they can see that. But there's nothing wrong with the stash. I mean, you know, Isaac, I understand that you're just going to hate on it, and that is what it is, but there's nothing wrong with a good stash.
It looks great. Really great. Yep.
Yeah, I can tell from all the stuff you guys are saying in the on the Facebook comments. I mean, just slandering a guy. You know, I'm gonna have to go and get some help here. I'm gonna have to go and get some help here for you guys bullying me as much as you guys are doing. So for everybody who hasn't seen yet, this is the 2013 hunting stash. You know, I think it's growing in just a little bit thicker now here in the 2020 with all the Rona that's built up in it. No, I don't have coronavirus, but you know, it's a little thicker up in the good old boulevard of the mustache. So you can hate, often imitate it, but never duplicate it. I can say that. So you know, that is, hey. When I shoot that big buck with my bow, you're going to be hating because, yeah, I see you rubbing that stash right there. You know, maybe here, I got a challenge for you. In your first three races, if you do not, your first three races in 2021, if you do not finish in the top eight,
top nine.
No, your car has an even number. You're 12. So there you go. There you go. Your car has an even number, and I'm an even number guy. So if you do not finish, and it all depends on how many cars are in the field, but if you do not finish in the top eight, then I think for 3 weeks after that, you just got to rock the stash.
All right, I'm going to say five races.
No, three.
And top
you wanted an odd number, so I gave you the odd number there, and I get the even number on the number of cars. And it depends. And each race, we need to talk so we know how many cars are in each field. You can't, and I'm, Lindsay's coming in on this. We're going to make that bet or what, since you want to talk about my stash? If Rob Stenvold would ever come on the podcast, I'd get him too.
I'll take that bet. That's a good challenge.
So each week, I get to pick how you design the stash, then, is what you're saying.
No. That's not part of the bet.
Why? Come on. We need a handlebars week one. You know, no chin, no goatee, but just the handlebars. And then, you know, we need you to flare it out, you know. So you might as well just start growing it.
Dude, me and my wife have been together for 8 years. I don't think I've ever not had a goatee.
Well, see, now it's time for a change.
You know what?
Spice,
you better ask her.
Bring her on. I don't care. You know, I'm trying to work a deal with Manscaped. So who knows? Maybe, you know, be a good addition there for you. I'll get you some. You know, I'll get you the hedge trimmer or whatever it's called. And then that.
Tell you what. You give me a Sarah Underwood poster too, and then we have a deal.
A Sarah Underwood poster.
Oh, I think she's their new.
Yeah. Yep. Hey, you never know. You never know what. Like I said, you never know what I can get. So, so we're making that deal, and then I'll get you the poster.
How all right, deal.
Deal. You guys heard it first here. Isaac Sandro is going to end up having a creep stash for 3 weeks during racing season. Isaac, it's always a pleasure to have a co-host like you on In the Groove. Thanks again, buddy. And until probably next week or a week after, and we'll talk again, right? Maybe the 49 machine will not.
Maybe he'll show up. I think he's scared now.
Yeah, and who knows, when Fluff hears that he's been demoted, he might be giving the old boss man a phone call.
Yeah, and Reed bailed tonight because he's playing Wii Bowling with his daughter. So,
jeez. All these guys, and they're all blaming it on their kids. That's the sad part. But thanks again, Isaac, for coming on In the Groove podcast. All right, everybody. So we made it into corner one and two. We got Luke on. You know, tonight he did not hit any tractor tires. Tonight he did not spin out or anything like that. Yes, there was a little bit of static on there, but, you know, it's a give and take. We got to talk a little racing. We got to, you know, meet another driver here in the NODAC area. So that is always good. But it is about that time. I am going to take the checkered flag and pull it back into the pits, go into the tech area, and go across the scales to take home this win tonight. This has been another episode of In the Groove Podcast, brought to you by Mad Bro Motorsports, Powerbit Tools, LS Tech of Mexican Food, and the good folks over at Outlaw Performance ENT. If you have not done already, please like us on all of our social medias. That is Instagram, Facebook, and our YouTube channel. Hit that subscribe button so you can get all the updates to everything we've got going on, and you can stay in the groove and smash that loud pedal.